Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat is 625 and a half up 5. Soft September wheat is 534 up 5 and a quarter. September corn 358 and a half down 3. December 367 down 2 and a half. July 393 and 3 quarters down 3 and a quarter. August soybeans 1206 and 3 quarters down 3 quarters. September 1105 down 6 and a half. Go out to May of 15, they're 1096 and a quarter down 7 and a quarter. August soybean meal 396.30 up a dollar. August soybean oil 35.86 down 38. August live cattle 157.72 and a half up 117 and a half. August feeders are 218 up 67 and a half. And August lean hogs are 123.87 and a half, and they're up 67 and one half.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Given the fundamentals in the wheat market, Mike, it's got to be a little bit disappointing to bulls that the market hasn't run more.
No, I think that's exactly right. And this is where the corn and the wheat continue to be attached at the hip, Dave. And I really think some spillover negativity has hit the wheat market this week, thanks to the corn, thanks to ideas that yields are running higher and higher, and thanks especially to the fresh meat scandal coming out of China, Japan, and Hong Kong, and also the MIR 162 certification demands that China's putting on all DDG imports. So this is why those two are so attached to the hip and so closely related, especially when it comes to the demand. When you look at the separation between feed grains and soybeans, you could pretty much say this for the last 7 years since the financial crisis: which commodity do the funds like because supply is falling faster than demand, or demand is outpacing supply? And it really is a strong contrast between the feed grains and the oil seeds, and that's where soybeans have been able to find the best support off of this weather. Wheat and corn have not.
You mentioned demand outpacing supply. To my way of thinking, just watching how much corn and beans and meal are leaving this country in the last few weeks, maybe traders need to think that maybe these prices are good enough for now.
I think they will once we get past the September report, unless there's a shock in the yield to the downside in the August report. I think what we're seeing here, Dave, is a similar feature as 2012, before the drought, 2011, 2010, even 2013, where the trade is assuming that the supplies are growing faster than demand right now. And it's a negative feedback loop that we're in. In 2008, on the bull run, in 2012, on the bull run, because of tight supplies, we had a positive feedback loop. End users bought extra because they expected prices to go up, because they expected supplies to go down even more in future USDA reports. This time around, we have the negative feedback loop where the supplies are going to consistently go higher in the trade's mindset, and therefore end users consistently continue to buy not much more than hand to mouth. But you're right, when you look at what they are buying, if this is only just a little bit more than hand to mouth at this point, and they're not extending coverage, I mean, to see the best weekly export sales in 2.5 years for beans and in over a year in corn, and we're seeing the basis on Wednesday at the Gulf hit a dollar over on corn and a dollar 60 over in beans, that is not demand negative at all. And I think this will come into play, but it probably is going to have to wait and be put off until maybe even after the September report. But this is where the bins, I think, will pay off, And I think this is where the trade is really underestimating where prices should be based upon demand. I personally think that most of the trade is thinking it's going to be very difficult to have a total corn demand much more than 13.3 or 13.4. I think you could do a lot better than that, maybe 3, maybe 500 million bushels better, so that we have a total demand around 13.7, 13.8 when it's all said and done because of these price levels we've hit. So I think that's a huge statement to put in your back pocket for you know 60 days from now, Dave. So don't let that one slip.
I think it's just hard to go against the trend, and with many people in trade thinking the crop is north of 170 BPA. You're seeing 172. You're seeing 174. You're seeing total stocks of 14.3, 14.4 billion bushels. And those numbers are just dominating the conversation day in and day out while the demand is kind of quietly building underneath. But I also wonder if we're setting ourselves up with the way the technicals are going for something that could really look a little bit counter-cyclical next week, because usually the last week of the month, you might see something go the other way.
Well, this is where the weather comes into play, and the way I would look at it at this stage of the game, taking the most short-term feature, the crop conditions, the most bearish feature that really illustrates what you were talking about. Heck, I heard on Wednesday the trade was going back to the U of I report back from the 9th of July saying, well, if it's 10% above trend line yield, we could have a 180 national yield. And I heard that from a trader's mouth on Wednesday afternoon. And so if you hear that out of a trader, you're probably starting to hear that from other people as well. So if you look at the crop conditions, which I think has been the leader to the downside, because USDA even went up a point in good to excellent on such great conditions just this past Monday, great historical conditions, when I actually thought we should have slipped 1 to 2 points based upon what I'm seeing out here. We've had a couple hundred degree days. We're starting to see corn fire on the sandy ground. We're starting to see beans really stop their growth and stop putting on new pods at this stage. It's not all said and done for, but it does not demand, I don't think, an increase in crop conditions. And so if we would come in on Monday with a decline in good to excellent conditions from some of the western Corn Belt states, I do think then maybe the trade will start to back off these massive national yields. And goodness knows, I'm not fighting the idea that Illinois is going to have a record corn crop. I realize that. But as you get to the south of Mount Vernon, I think you start to find more and more fields, maybe even as much as 30% of the fields, that are no better than maybe average or maybe even below average. So you start to spread that out in other states, because we are still in the heart of the silking process. I think this is where you start with the crop conditions declining, then maybe you get the market to walk back some of these huge supply numbers.
So does the market consolidate at the current level, or does it consolidate at, say, another 10 to 15 cents lower in corn and another quarter to 50 cents lower in soybeans?
You know, I sent a note out to clients last week talking about locking in basis in corn first, and my whole analysis boils down to WW1, wheat, weather, and inflation. And we've got wheat trying to bottom. This could be the second week that we have a higher close in wheat, stimulate a 10-day moving average, crossover above. That stimulates the commodity index charts to signal a buy signal technically. Then you start to have some weather ahead of you where it's a little bit drier, even if it's cooler, it's drier. That stimulates a little bit more short covering. And then you start to talk about, you know, getting a little bit more in terms of a technical upside potential. So that's kind of how I'm lining it out as we go into today's close.
Before we let you go, a word about lean hogs. I really thought they were going to go into the tank, but today we seem to get a little bit of recovery that suggests maybe not yet.
Well, we've held the line in the August hogs. Yesterday's low took us below a trend line or a support line that's been intact for the last couple months. I think it's really worth noting that the cutout has been pulled down by about $7 a hundredweight this pound this week per hundredweight this week, Dave, on a huge drop in the bellies. And I think this makes sense from a standpoint of the summer belly market probably being over with. So I'm not too nervous about the cash fundamentals, but the technicals I'm really watching closely.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzalo, of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas, current tick in the marketplace. September corn, 358 down 3.5. December, 366.5 down 3. November soybeans are 10.76 1/4, and they are down 8.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.